Two to snap it. Jones just gets it off. Daniel Jones in trouble. Brian Burns gets to him. A sack back at the 16.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Meow Mix, Carolina Panthers podcast. My name is Steven.
My name is Jerry.
And we are here to do a little bit of off-season discussions, kind of talk about what the Panthers may need to focus on at a high level this off-season. We're going to get into a little more detail, I guess, probably next week. I think free agency starts next week.
Yeah, I mean, the Panthers have to decide what they're doing with Brian Burns, which was number one on my list anyways, was tag him and figure out. They haven't tagged him yet. My thought is they're probably debating, like, trying to finish the deal now. But if not, they'll tag him. I mean, you can't let him walk.
There's zero reason not to tag him.
Unless get a deal done.
Of course. Yeah. Exactly. There's zero reason for them not to tag him. Continue to try to get a deal done. Yes. Right? I mean, I'm going to assume that the deal is not going to be done before the deadline to tag. Just based on what we've seen so far, I don't see the deal getting done then. I do think they could agree on a deal before the season starts, but I do think he will be tagged. And I think it's going to be interesting to watch because once they tag him, you're going to have people calling.
Oh, 100%.
You're going to have people making offers. And especially before the draft and even, you know, probably on draft day, right?
Yeah.
And I think let's say somebody does come in with another Godfather offer, you know, another first round pick this year and maybe even a first round pick the next year or a high second round pick this year or something, you know, something crazy. Like, do the Panthers do it?
I think a Godfather offer, yes. I think if they don't get a Godfather offer, I say no, unless you're just so far away from Brian Burns and his representation that you're just like, it's this one-year rental because there's just no way we're going to get to the same spot as they are. So,
yeah.
Because you can't let him walk and just get a compensational...
No, you can't end up with a late third round pick for Brian Burns. You just can't do that. But yeah, I think you know, I was looking at ESPN, I don't know, yesterday, day before, and they had a list of, you know, top end free agents and where they should end up, right? And I think they had Burns with the Lions, like just basically saying to him and who's that, Hutchinson, the other guy they
Aiden
have.
Hutchinson.
The bookends there would be awesome, which I agree.
Yeah.
Would be amazing, right? But that would be, you know, him leaving, us getting, you know, a late first, and then whatever else the Lions would throw in. But at that point, I'd rather just, I think, keep Burns, unless it's two firsts. If it's two firsts, then I maintain what I said when we were offered two firsts the first time, which that's a ton of compensation for Brian Burns, and I would take that.
I don't think you're gonna get to first. I mean,
I don't think so anymore.
I think he hurt his own traction last season. He didn't play that well.
Yeah.
I mean, then all this gruff about the pick contract.
I don't think it's completely out of the question that someone could come in with an offer like that. But I think it is very unlikely at this point. However, once we get closer to the draft and, you know, we start to see, you know, maybe the Lions are on the clock and they're like, well, man, everybody that we really wanted is gone. Should we just make this huge offer and try to get Brian Burns if they feel they're that one piece away, right?
And do they feel that, though? I mean,
they were pretty close last year. I mean, that's a team on the rise.
Adding
someone like Brian Burns would, I think, make a pretty big impact on that defense.
I mean,
could be interesting.
Would you take like a this year's first and Jameson Williams?
I think that would be a good starting point. I think I'd want another pick in there not another first, but I think I'd want a third, maybe, you know, maybe a third this year or something. But I would like that because that would address one of our needs, which I think we should talk about now. The Panthers, let's just talk a little bit about wide receivers because the Panthers need at least one, probably more than one, you know. Have you been watching some of these combine numbers for these wide receivers? Yes. Holy crap, dude. There are probably 10 receivers in this draft that are running like 4.4 or less.
Dude, wide receiver.
Some of those guys are going to be available at in the 30s.
The wide receiver overall in general is just becoming such a flood. There's so many talented wide receivers out there because of the spread offense. Because they're basically able to run around and get the ball. So a lot of smaller receivers are getting blown out. Now, do you go for that or do you try to sign somebody? That's kind of where I was sitting.
I think you do both.
Well, with this team, I agree. You have to do both. Yeah. I don't feel Mingo was... I think Mingo solidified himself as a starter, to be honest with you.
Well, certainly not yet. Certainly not yet. I'm not out on Mingo.
I mean 1 year.
Yeah. I think they'll end up trading Thielen.
Oh, you think they're trading him?
I think they'll end up trading Thielen.
I think you keep him on the roster just because of
prefer that. I don't think he wants to be here. I don't think he wants to be part of this rebuild. I think he would rather go try and win somewhere. I don't blame him.
I don't either, but I don't think.
I mean, if you get an offer of, I don't know, like a fourth round pick, you get him off the books, you kind of restart at wide receiver with everyone. I kind of think that's the way they're going to go.
I am shocked you said that.
We'll see.
Because that contract's a pretty hefty contract.
It's not that bad. I'm looking it up. 1,000-yard receiver, it's not that bad of a contract.
But no one else wanted to pay him close to that last year. That's the thing.
We don't know that. We know he decided to come here. We don't know what other offers he had, though. I know he had other offers. But now you're a year into it, so it's less years. You could restructure it and spread that money out further. It's not an untradeable contract.
If they can't release him, obviously, and I think that
no, they're not going to release him.
So let's see how much I'm trying to go on SpotRack's managed roster to see if we could do a quick trade, see if that, how much it.
Yeah, I don't know how much it really even saves us, if it saves us anything at all, but I just could see it happening. Just to, again, kind of reboot the offense totally. I don't know.
Yeah, it doesn't look like it would save but like $1 million in cap. I don't see the benefit of trading him because he was such that third down receiver for you. And I think you have to go out and get another guy to really help out.
And again, I'm not saying that I think it's a good idea. I'm saying I think they will do it. I think he will be traded. So we'll see. You want to put a beer on it? That's something we do here. All right.
Beer bet
of the week.
Cheers. You look like sweet tea. I'm drinking a vanilla coffee ball from Cabarrus Brewery. Not sponsored, but it's a good beer.
This is a sweet tea from Steven's Kitchen. I created this myself. Put a little splash of lemon in it. That's my own little twist. I know people don't do that.
Yeah, it's so rare. So rare. I mean, oh my God. Lemon and tea?
Right. So T. Higgins was franchised by the Bengals. Doesn't mean that he can't get traded, but it means it's less likely for him to land here.
Michael Pittman Jr. also got tagged. That was a guy I was kind of hoping we could grab, but
yeah. Rumors are that Mike Evans might get tagged, but even if he doesn't, it does not sound like he wants to come to a situation like this, right?
Why? He's 30 years old.
I know people love people. As soon as we got Canales, people were like, oh, he's going to bring Mike Evans. He was with Mike Evans for 1 year.
Yeah.
There's no loyalty there. There's no reason that he would choose to come here because of Dave Canales. Like, they don't have a relationship like that, I am assuming.
Now, do I think that Mike Evans thinks positively of him? Sure, he had a great year under him. But I also think if Dave Canales went to a Super Bowl contender and had $20 million in cap space next year that for him, yeah, he would go.
Yeah, but the key word there is Super Bowl contender, right? Mm-hmm. Like, this is not a Super Bowl contending team and will not be for at least the next couple of seasons, most likely. And Mike Evans kind of made it very clear he didn't want to go to a team that didn't have a chance to win. So I would very much expect that not to transpire. Now, that kind of brings us back to what we were talking about earlier. You know, you mentioned draft or sign. Well, the signings of the top-end guys seems like it may not be feasible at this point.
I mean, you're looking at top-end guys are Odell Beckham, who's 31, Curtis Samuel, 27. I mean,
that's still Brown, a top-end guy. Calvin Ridley. That's the range that we're in.
Yes, we're not. Yeah. We're not at the upper echelon.
We're not the future Hall of Famer kind of guys.
Now, I do say if you could go grab Calvin Ridley, I think that's a solid number one. He has some issues with the gambling before and stuff like that. Yeah. But he's a good route runner. He's young. Oh, shit. Darn. He's 29. I didn't realize he was that old.
Yeah, I mean, he basically was putting up the same numbers as DJ Moore.
I mean, I would be
For their first several seasons. That was kind of the debate. Like, DJ Moore, Calvin Ridley, they were drafted back-to-back. I would be happy with Calvin Ridley on this team. Marquise Brown's another guy you mentioned that I've seen some folks kind of say that he could end up here. I don't think he's, you know, a high-end number one, but he would definitely be an upgrade on this team. As would almost anybody that we mentioned, honestly.
I mean, honestly, there's just not many number one receivers that you could go get. You have to trade for them.
Yeah.
And it's too rich for this team's blood. I think you have to draft a guy in this draft. I think you go get a mid-tier guy like a Calvin Ridley. You add Amir Smith-Marset back, hopefully. Someone like that who showed some promise. He's younger, 24 years old, has some speed. He also bonuses in there. And you hope the draft pick and them pan out.
And plus you got Mingo. Yeah, right? You got Mingo who you're developing. And if Thielen stays, that's kind of... If Thielen's your number two, that feels really good, right? Mm-hmm. And then you got Mingo and your draft pick there to develop Smith-Marset as kind of your gadget guy. I mean, if they went out and signed Curtis Samuel for $6 million a year, I think I'd be happy with that.
Oh, yeah. He has speed. I mean.
Yeah, he's a fun guy to play with. And, you know, we enjoyed him when he was here, when he was healthy.
Moving to something that Dave Canales said, I meant to grab this snippet, but, you know, I didn't. At the offseason, he did talk about really running a lot more play action in this team and running a lot more motion and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. Amen. First of all, that is what
you want Jerry over right there.
I didn't win. He has said everything right. I know I was really negative on this side. So far, he said everything right. I am not jumping on the bandwagon, but I'm willing to give him the shot. That's all I could do.
Yeah. He has been very, he's been very open. Mm-hmm. Number one, he's been very, exuberant about what he's saying in terms of playing to the strengths of the team, right? Not forcing your system onto the team. And I know we harp about that, but man, that was so disappointing with Frank Reich.
Yeah.
Because I was hoping that he was going to be one of the guys to come in and adapt, and he couldn't adapt. But it seems like Canales is where his mind is he's going to come in, he's going to create an offense for the players on the team, not try to force the players on the team into his offense because that's what he's comfortable with and that's what he knows.
Yeah,
and that is I mean, I'm optimistic about that.
Me too. And that actually leans into one of my big questions for Canales and Morgan is they need to look at this offensive line. Mm-hmm. They need to take a deep look at it. Because at the beginning of the season, I thought they could be a top 10 offensive line.
Sure, they ended last the previous season.
The way the Wilkes played it. So right. I want them to look at how the Wilkes regime coached it. Decide, is this a good go forward? Or if not, we need to go get some pieces. What do we need? How do we... I mean, I know Canales has talked about molding to the strengths. The strength is a power run game. So,
yeah. Yeah. And that, and he said that. He said he's going to run the ball. He said he's going to run the ball and make sure that that is a massive part of the offense.
Which it should be.
And as we saw with Wilkes, that is where the offensive line succeeds.
Mm-hmm.
With that type of run game. You run that, you play action out of that for your big plays. And that's exactly what Canales is saying. I like Canales too, but he's a big analytics guy. So he's looking at the things that work in the NFL today. And that's what he's going to try and bring here. He's young. Seems to be pretty smart. He's had success. I mean, I like it. But to your point, and I think, was it the interior linemen that were going to be at the combine today, and or maybe it was yesterday, but either way, they were going to be, I think, today. So they're going to be taking a hard look at them. But yeah, the offensive line needs to be is it your number one spot that they need to improve on in the offseason?
No. I still think that's wide receiver. My thought is, it depends. If he feels, and this is, you got to go with the coach's gut here.
Mm-hmm.
If they want to run his own scheme, if he feels like that's the only way that we can really build Bryce Young, is his own scheme, then yeah, then it bumps up to number one. If he thinks, hey, Bryce Young can play this play action, rollouts, and stuff like that, power run game, play action, and these guys could do it, then no. That's my big thing is I don't know. I think they were forced to play a system none of them fit, and that's the biggest issue.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, something else they're going to have to look into is backup quarterback, because I don't think Dalton is under contract.
I thought Dalton had a two-year contract here.
I thought he was only a one-year contract. No, you're right. He might be at 2 years.
Yep, he's still on the roster at 37 years old.
Yeah, they can. I think they can get out of his deal.
I mean, he's four, not $5 million on the cap. I think you keep him.
Yeah, you keep him. All right, well, that's good. So that's something at least they don't have to worry about. Because I was thinking earlier, I was like, is he? And I didn't look, so... all right, so don't have to worry about backup quarterback. Edge. Well, here, let's talk about this first. Luvu.
You got to sign him.
You got to re-sign Luvu, right?
I think for morale of the team, you have to re-sign him. Because he's a guy you brought in here on a cheap deal.
Different regime,
but a cheap deal, and he's completely outperformed it. He's became... Yeah. A leader on that defense. And I feel like if you try to sign somebody else from free agency, they will look at him and say, hey, how did they treat this guy? You know what I mean?
Yeah. I don't know how much that really plays into these guys. Maybe your higher end players, it plays into where they go. But even if that wasn't the case, Luvu is a good player. And you're probably not going to have to pay him top five linebacker money. Like, I don't think he's at that level in terms of what kind of contract he can get. Now, I do think he's borderline Pro Bowler, right? He's borderline Pro Bowl guy. But I think he's going to be affordable. And if they don't re-sign him, that's a big miss, in my opinion.
I do, too. I mean, he's been... one of the biggest bright spots this team has had in the past 3-4 years.
Yeah. And same goes with Derrick Brown. I mean, his contract's not up, but he is eligible for an extension. They need to go ahead and get that done, too. Don't let this become another Brian Burns fiasco where it's dragging in to, you know, franchise tag territory. Just go ahead and get it done.
Brian Burns is one of the best defensive tackles in the league. You just have to go ahead and bite the
Derrick Brown. Derrick Brown.
Sorry.
You said yes. Brian Burns.
I was like Brian Burns, looking not at a Brian defensive Burns tackle. Like numbers here on Spot right. Rack and Derrick right. Brown. So, yes, but Derrick Brown, go ahead, get him under contract.
Yeah.
He's not going to put up the stupid numbers that Aaron Donald does, but only Aaron Donald does that.
He's still
a top-tier defensive tackle in this league. Should have been a Pro Bowler last – well, he was, but
– Should have been a – yeah, shouldn't have been an alternate. He should have been a just Pro Bowler. Okay, so now we got those out of the way. Yes, edge on the defense has to be number one priority.
Yes, right? 100%.
Has to be. I mean, they tried to do it with Justin Houston last year. He hardly ever played.
What happened to that? Did he just not care?
He fell off a cliff. Yeah, I think he's just in it for the money now. And he tried to get where did he end up going after? Was it Baltimore?
Yeah, I think Baltimore.
I don't remember, but wherever he went, he was trying to get a ring. But so yeah, edge. I don't know who are the edges. Is that a guy you draft? Is that a free agent signing?
It's what the worst part is. Those positions don't open up that often.
Yeah.
Let's go to free agents here.
Which, by the way, is why someone offered 2 first-round picks for Brian Burns.
Exactly.
Right?
Because they don't.
The top end guys are just not available.
Okay, top edges. And Leonard Williams. Okay. Danielle Hunter, which I would love.
Yep.
Manuel Ogba. Carl Lawson. Marcus Davenport.
And the thing is, like, if you sign Burns for $27 million a year, are you going to be able to afford one of these other top guys? Probably not, right?
Probably not. It depends how
if you're signing Burns, if you're signing Luvu, if you're signing Derrick Brown, then you're having to go get a wide receiver. Then you're having to get, you know, maybe a corner. I mean, we'll talk about corners in a minute. It feels like this is probably a draft position.
It really
and I could see them. I could see them doing that at 33. Honestly, I could see them drafting an edge at 33.
Yeah, 100%. And in my mocks that I do lazily, like just haphazardly, you know, I do grab that edge.
Yeah.
A lot, because it depends on what's out there and everything like that.
Yeah, it feels like wide receiver this year. Like, you could get
Tank Dell,
a really good one, right? Tank Dell was a 5th rounder. I mean, these wide receivers go late and just are good immediately sometimes. So if you're a good drafter, and we'll have to see with Dan Morgan, right?
And
first time GM, so we're gonna see what he looks like. Man, I'm really excited, and I'm also really nervous about Dan Morgan as GM, because I really want it to work out, and I do have some faith that it will. But again, this is the first time he's been the man.
See, you're right. It's the first time he's been the man, but I have a lot of trepidation about the simple fact that he was here. Like,
he was here. He was here, but I read an article the other day I don't remember who it was. It was a former player, I think. Charles Johnson, maybe. And it might not have been an article. It might have just been a tweet. But anyway, he was saying that the difference between being in the room and being the guy is so different that you almost have to discount the fact that he was there. Because you have no idea if what he was saying was being listened to, or how much it was being listened to, or what they did listen to. Were those the things that were working out? Right? We almost just have to kind of forget that he was here with Fitterer.
That's what you
judge
say.
Judge him on his own merits.
Oh, which I'll he definitely will, be which judging he will prove him on to his us. Own merits. But yeah. He still has a trailer hitch to that previous regime. I'll just put it that way. That
he does, but he also has a trailer hitch to the Buffalo Bills regime and to the Seattle Seahawks regime. And those are all good trailer hitches. Trailers to be hitched to, right? So the only poor one is, unfortunately, our team. So
seems like that's always the issue.
Yeah. All right, so Edge for sure, you know, likely if they re-sign Burns at draft position. If they don't re-sign Burns and trade for him, everything is just up in the air at that point. I think, honestly, if they trade Burns and they get a first and they get, you know, something else maybe, the whole draft just becomes extremely interesting, and the season itself really becomes a... I'd have to alter my mind to think about this next season and what is gonna
it's so interesting
be the priority, right?
That's why I kind of want to do this podcast of simple overview, because it really is gonna shape how Canales and Dan Morgan kind of will see this franchise right now, how they're setting it up and stuff like that. I don't think they're in a win now, thankfully, for the first time in like 4 years. But
we could see the entire franchise, it seems, Tepper has made a conscious decision to say, all right, we're going to start over. We're going to try to do it right this time. They got a young first-time head coach, a young first-time GM, hired them together.
On a rookie quarterback who's 1 year in, who's...
Yeah. Which is why, to me, trading Adam Thielen, maybe trading Brian Burns, these things aren't crazy. If this is the direction they're going and they know they're going to suck, or at least maybe be, they hope they're going to be competitive but probably not win a lot of games the first year, then maybe you just try to get assets and you try to build.
See, here's the thing, though. My thought is, you can't trade Adam Thielen because of that. Because you want Bryce Young to succeed. Brian Burns is on that chopping block, in my opinion. That he hasn't had a good year. He is asking for way too much money if it is $30 million right now. You know, that. But I think Adam Thielen, he was that coach. And here's the thing, is we still have Hayden Hurst on the roster, who played well in other places besides last year and this team. So can Dave Canales pull something out of him? Because it wasn't like he was bad everywhere else.
Right. Tight end is another one that I hope they really address. But with Hurst getting that, you know, mid contract, you know, it's possible that they just kind of stay as is this year with the tight end situation, which would just make me really unhappy. But it is what it is. But I don't know. I mean, you know, if they trade Adam Thielen, but they bring in Hollywood Brown or they bring in Calvin Ridley, are you down at that point? No, not really. You get your asset, you save a little bit of money, and you move on to the next guy, and you start developing Mingo and whatever rookie you draft. Maybe you even bring in another, you know, receiver in a trade or free agency. I mean, it's.
But Thielen depends on what the direction they want to get. $10 million a year this year. Like,
exactly. That's what I'm saying. It's a tradable contract.
Calvin Ridley or anybody else in free agency cheaper than that.
No, but Adam Thielen is not your future number one receiver. Calvin Ridley could be. You signed Calvin Ridley. He's what, 20? You say he's 29? Mm-hmm. So, really, he's only, what, a couple of years younger than Thielen.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
That's why.
How old is Hollywood Brown? Hollywood Brown's probably 27, 28, right?
I think 27. I have to go back. You're bouncing around, man.
Sorry. Yeah, well, you know, it's been a while since we've done a podcast, too. And by the way, everybody, we're working on, you know, and ideas to make sure that we put out more consistent podcasts here in the off season. During the season, it's easy, right? Yeah. Two a week is easy during the season.
Yeah, but Marquise Brown is 26 years old.
Okay, so Marquise Brown, I mean, and again, he's not what I would call an elite one wide receiver, but I think he has some skills.
I agree.
He was traded for a first, right? I mean, it's not crazy to think that he's valued in the league.
No, I think he's valued in the league, and I think he is a solid player. I just don't know if he's a number one.
Yeah.
And that's where you're sitting at with him.
Adam Thielen is, you know, he was our number one, but is he a number one?
No, 100%.
No, he's not.
So, I'm trying to pull up his stats right now. I know he can take the top off a team.
But. Yeah, yeah. I think his stats are better than you think they are.
Well, Last year, he only had 500. Whoa. My daughter wished me a happy birthday, you know, like 5 months early.
Happy birthday. Wasn't he hurt? He was hurt some last year.
I don't. Pulling up his stats, hopefully. Pro Football Reference, just give me the stats, please, sir. Not all this other stuff. I had a toddler behind me.
He played 14 games last year, 51 catches, 574 yards, 4 touchdowns, 50% catch rate. By far his worst season, looks like. But, you know, 2021, he is a 1,000-yard receiver. 2022, he got traded to Arizona, and that's kind of where his numbers started slipping a bit. Probably not a number one receiver, but he would be a good addition to the team.
Yeah, and again, he can stretch the field. That's what I think he would be really good at. But at the same time, do you judge him better than DJ Shark and try to bring DJ Shark back? And how much money?
Yeah, I would. I mean, I probably would have had them pretty close, if not Shark a little higher before last season. But Shark just was so ineffective last year. And I don't know if that was the offense or if that was him. I just don't know.
I would say offense, just because last year towards the end he did end up getting about 500 yards in those last 8 games or so, it felt like.
Yeah.
And they're about the same age too, so. Plus, you may be able to get him on a discount for this that simple fact.
Yeah, true. I mean, I'd be happy to bring Chark back for $6-7 million a year.
That's kind of where I view him as well.
Yeah. Real quick, and we're running out of time, but corner, I mean, it's possible that they get rid of Dante Jackson.
Yeah. I mean, he's sitting at a $15 million cap hit.
Yeah. You've got J.C. Horn coming up on his 5th year. Yeah. So that, I think, or at least the decision for it. So I think that's an interesting one to look at. But I see Dante Jackson, I could easily see them letting him go.
He would save $6 million in cap if you cut him.
Mm-hmm.
That's $9 million, $10 million against the cap.
Is that a post June 1st cut? Because I know it's more if it's post June 1st.
Over the
cap lets you do that, or whatever it is.
But I could also see maybe trying to extend him for another 2 years.
Dante?
Yeah. Mm. I mean, what else are you going to do? I don't think you could trade him.
No. You would have to. He would just be a cut.
And to save $5 million, I think you keep him at that point. Unless, like I said, do an extension for another year or so, or 2 years.
And it also depends on who they're trying to bring in. You know, if they're trying to bring in some guys, and $6 million for a year is pretty good savings. I mean, that's an entire tight end, right? Like, just, and you've got Troy Hill, I think, still under contract.
Troy Hill? I thought they signed him to a 1 year deal.
I don't remember. Either way, you're going to have options in free agency to bring in guys.
Yeah. I mean, J.C. Jackson's out there. I mean, Stephon Gilmore. Yeah. I mean, there we go.
I'd be happy to bring in Stephon Gilmore.
There's guys out there, but I mean,
yeah,
it's so
we're gonna do a more full free agency.
Oh yeah,
podcast where we really go and look at the guys and actually are prepared to talk about them next week. So keep an eye out for that. But Jerry, you know, off season is starting to ramp up a little bit with free agency starting, and then we've got the draft next month, and you know, and then there's nothing for a few months, but. But we've got some things coming up here, so looking forward to talking to you more over the next few weeks.
Not about work.
Right.
And if anybody knows when Micro Center finally opens, please let me know. Oh, my God. I've been sitting here waiting to buy my new computer and build it, but no.
Yeah, I've been looking every day, and they just they keep saying early 2024. Well,
I know. It's so annoying.
It's still early. It's getting to be mid-2024 at this point. So
I know. I have to do, like, my mid-year review pretty soon for work.
Right, right, right. All right. Well, Jerry, I think that's going
to
do it.
Yep. We want to thank everyone for listening. If you like the show, please let your friends know. Please follow us on Twitter, at MeowMixPodcast. If you have any questions or comments, you can email us at mailbag@meowmixpodcast.com. If you leave us a 5-star review with a comment on Apple Podcasts, we'll read it on our show. Please like and subscribe on YouTube.
We'll be back next week to talk some free agency. Probably a few podcasts next week, depending on what signings happen and things like that.
So. Brian Burns.
Yeah, yeah.
Will he? Won't he?
Right, right. I don't know if we'll do a podcast if he signs a franchise tag, but we'll see. Yeah. We'll see what comes up. Either way, we will be back next week. So until then, everybody stay safe out there and keep bounding.